Amen. God's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all move around a little bit. Somebody shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're looking good. And if they're not looking so good, tell them you're looking good in the Lord. How about that? God is awesome. God, what a day. It's an awesome day. I know we're having our Aurora Fossil Festival in Benson somewhere. Eventually we're going to have Mule Days. Somebody has Collard Festival. That's the one I really like. I'm going to throw down a posse track and start a Collard and Pigtail Festival. Amen. God's good all the time. So just know that people, we got some folks over there at the Fossil Festival, and I hope I really, really hope they're having a good time. I hope God's blessing them there, and we're having a good time here. This is Memorial Day, and so we got to remember that God's got all things under control. Amen? Y'all say God's got all things under control. Amen, amen, amen. God is awesome. Now y'all know what this weekend is all about, right? Y'all understand that we're here at Memorial Day. This is Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, like my brother just said, Brother Randy said, it's not for the veterans that are here. It's for the veterans that didn't make it back. Amen? That was a lot of them, too. When I looked at the statistics of war, this is just major wars. There's the Spanish-American War, the War of 1812. I mean, there's so many conflicts. And if you look how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that have died. But Civil War, 625,000. World War I, 116,516. That's just American casualties. World War II, 405,399. Total soldiers killed in that Great War was 35 million were killed in World War II. We you know what? It's election time. We need to be voting because of stuff like this. Amen. Somebody says, "What about voting? What you doing?" I said, "You know what? Whether I like either one of them, you know, Democrat, Republican, Independent, doesn't matter. These guys here and women gave their life for me to have that privilege to vote." I go into prison. They say, "Well, how come if they're not Christian? Are you still going to minister to them?" I said, "I signed that when I got there that I was going to minister to everybody." And they said, "Well, what about if they don't believe like you do?" And I said, "Well, so there's." Probably 50 million people that died so they can have the right to believe like they want to. So I said, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to minister. Amen. Also, in Korea, 36,516. Vietnam, 58,209. Total death from all sides in the Vietnam conflict was 3,435,000. Wow. Virginia, vote, do whatever they died for to give us the privilege to do, do it, amen. And then Desert Storm, there was 293 Afghanistan, 20, right around 2,200 Afghanistan, 4,500, Iraq, and there's more going on all the time. And then the sacrifice, this is what I want you to think about the sacrifice that they made. The sacrifice of one's life for one's country is truly an awesome act. Jesus said there's no greater love than this that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's some powerful stuff there. Our Marines remind us that all gave some, but some gave all. Wow. Today honors those who set a great example of faith for us to follow. It takes a lot of faith to go into a situation where you know you may not make it out. Amen? But you go because, not only because you swore an oath, but you go because you already know that this might be in the line of what's going on. Amen? So you got to. So now, let's get into the doubt. I just want you right now just to raise your hands. I want you to thank God for all the people. Thank God for all the people that have done. Just raise your hands and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're free because of them. Thank you, God, that we're free because of them. And now, Lord, touch their families and help them. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you for it. Amen. So now, get your Bible out. I was going to do one thing this week. I was still going to talk about the attributes of God. And this just, I mean, it was like I couldn't get over this. I couldn't get beyond this. And so so here it is. Somebody in here, anybody here ever been broken? Anybody ever been broken? Well, you know, God has something special for you that's been broken. Matter of fact, it's wonderful in God's eyes, not wonderful that you got broken, but it's wonderful that he can do something with you. You know, I heard about this pitiful man whose fiance broke their engagement and shredded his tender heart. He later received a letter of apology and desire for reconciliation. It read, "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the lottery." Amen. God's awesome. All right, here we go. Brokenness. Get your Bibles out. You don't have to stand up for this reading of this work. So we're going to come back in a minute. It's going to be up there. I just want you to have it. Turn to Psalm 147 and just put your finger there. Keep it there because I'm going to put those scriptures up here for you to see. But as I was studying, well, I have to get a little further before I really tell you. But let me just ask you this question. Let me pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that we do not have to walk alone. I thank you, God, that even when we feel like we're walking alone, you're still there. I thank you, God, that you've got something special for us, Lord, that you want to work through us and for us, Lord, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, touch this day. Minister to everybody, Lord. Minister to what needs to be met. Minister to the needs that need to be met in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. So now, here we go. Get ready. Beautiful. Beautiful brokenness. Look at there. Have you ever felt this way? Your heart broke. I mean, you just feel like you can't go on. You feel like you've been hit below the belt one time too many, and this is just all you want. This is it. I can't take anymore. You know, I see that, and I think about when I'm looking at this picture right here, what I think about is being broken, shattered, set on a shelf, tossed away, thrown aside. Have you ever felt that way? Broken, shattered, set on a shelf, tossed aside, thrown away. And sometimes we even feel that way that God has even done the same thing to us. I'm going to be honest. I'm being real. Sometimes we feel like God has even done that in our lives. So I want you to watch this now. The world, when they look at our brokenness, here's what they say. It takes too much time to try to restore, so just get a new one. That's why the divorce rate is so high in this nation. That's why homes or mental institutions are so full. I was talking to a psychiatrist the other day, and I told him about, he asked me, did I do any counseling as a pastor? I said, yes, I do counseling as a pastor. I said, matter of fact, I'm in college again to get another degree in counseling. And he told me, he said, bless you. And he said, because we can't do it on our own. He said, we can offer medicine and we can offer some type of counsel. He said, but the Christian men and women, they can offer biblical solutions. And then I read a statistic a little while back said that in regular counseling, it's only got about a 50% success rate. But in Christian counseling, it has a 90% success rate because you give Christian principles and principles that are that are ironclad. You can't mistake it. They're real. And so he said, he told me, he said, what we need is more people in this world that counsel using the Bible. But our problem is we want to say, don't let anyone see our flaws. Don't let anyone think we hurt. We want to walk around like Superman. Like there's no problem, nothing whatsoever. We want to walk around like there's nothing wrong. Like, you know, somebody's asking you how you're feeling. Of course it's by faith. You go, I'm feeling awesome by faith. But you know what? Sometimes if you could see inside that armor, you'd see a broken, broken heart. You see a broken man, a broken woman. So such reality in a way is how we live in this world. Don't if you are hurting, think about this. It may be too hard to even try to fix. And if you are going to try to fix it, don't anybody know you're going through anything. Wow. That's the kind of world we live in. You see, watch this. The world is full of brokenness. I see it every day. I see it wherever I go. I can be in the checkout line anywhere. I can be in the checkout line. And many times people will know I'm a pastor without me even saying it. And it's not because I'm wearing a fancy suit. It's not because I'm holding myself all fancy. I know it's just the anointing or the presence of God. But they go, you're a pastor, aren't you? And as soon as they find a pastor, say, can I pull you to the side and talk to you for a minute? I was in Starbucks. I was in a hurry Friday. I was in Starbucks, and I stopped up, and as I saw a young lady behind the counter, I knew that she'd had a baby a little over a year ago. And so I just said, I knew she had a baby boy, and she told me he was her eyeball, so he's about a year, maybe 2 years old. And I said, how's your little boy doing? And she just started crying. And so I found out he had a disease, and so here we are. I'm counseling in here, and she says, can I talk to you later? So I went over to the side. But then the funniest thing happened. I backed up. My wife calls me a big ox. I backed up and backed over a little bitty woman behind me. And so I went to catch her before she fell over, and I said, excuse me, little lady. And when she fell over and I grabbed her, I looked and noticed that she had a habit. And so I said, I'm sorry, you're not a lady, you're a sister. And I said, excuse me, you are a lady, but you're a sister too. And then the other three nuns were laughing as I was trying to take my foot out of my mouth with the fourth nun. About took out four nuns with one sweep. Amen. I felt so bad about it as they were ordering their Starbucks. I looked over at the lady and says, I'll take care of theirs, please. I want to bless you, sisters. And they couldn't even speak. They were speaking broken English, but I could hear them say something about hombre and loco or... Okay, so the world is full of broken families, broken marriages, broken relationships, broken dreams, broken lives. If I was to ask you right now without anybody raising their hand, please don't raise your hand. There's a category of five things right there. If I was to ask you to take an audit right now of your own life or somebody very close to you in your life and write down, just check mark beside the things that apply to you, that's broken in your life, I'm pretty sure there's everybody in here can hit at least one or two of them. But if you put the rest of your family in there and think about your whole family, you can put more than multiple check marks by each one, because that's the world we live in. Amen? But you know, even though the world is full of brokenness, the most awesome thing about this the world of brokenness is the Word is full of promises. God wants to put us back together. God wants to help us. God wants to heal us. I'll go ahead, if you got your Bible out, go ahead and turn to Psalm 147. I'm going to give you another reading of it up here, but Psalm 147, and I'm going to read a different version as we're reading this thing. So y'all, I'm going to read the Amplified version. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for He is gracious and lovely. Praise is becoming and appropriate. The Lord is building up Jerusalem. He is gathering together the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, curing the pains and their sorrows. Wow. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wound. This other version here, it says, who is giving healing to the broken of heart and binding up their griefs. That's the Young Literal Translation. Here's another one, Isaiah 53. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to read it in the Message. I want you to see what it says. It's really awesome. Who believes what we have heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought that he was scum. But the fact is, it is our pains that he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought that he brought them on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures, but it was our sins, y'all say our sins, that did it to him, that ripped him and tore him and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. Wow. And here's what I was studying this week. This is what led to all this. I was studying this week, and some of y'all, especially y'all that just traveled overseas, will understand what I'm talking about. Anybody heard of Kintsugi or Kintsugi? Kintsugi is a Japanese process. See that plate right there? My grandmama had one. If I'd have known that, I'd have asked for it when she was gone, but I'm pretty sure it wound up going to a yard sale somewhere. I had no idea what I was even looking at when I saw this. Hers was something a little different. It was a darker plate, but it was put together this way. The Japanese made an art of restoring broken things. It's an ancient practice called Kintsugi, or Kintsugi, or Kintsugi. And it means golden joinery, or patch with gold. They would take something broken instead of throwing it away. They would actually take gold and put it back together. So the age-old custom of repairing cracked pottery with real gold, not only fixing the break, but greatly increasing its value. Now, I looked all over trying to find some. Of course, my grandmama's is gone. I don't know where it's at. So this, believe me, this is only a replica, so don't think when I tell you the value of what this thing would be, don't come rushing up here if I had a drawing for who would get it. This vessel's worth $1. But if I use Kintsugi when it broke and I put it back together, this $1 vase becomes worth $100+. A broken vase? From $1 to $100? In some places it would be more than that. Why is it that the value went up? Because it was put back together. But it was put back together with gold. So wherever it was broken, wherever it was hurt, wherever it was cracked, gold was placed in it. So in other words, this isn't now as good as new. This is better than new. $1, $100. I went to Michael's, and I got this vinegar jar, or whatever you want to put in it, but it said for vinegar. All right? This jar is worth $2 on sale. But if I repaired it with gold, it would be worth up to as high as $500. A broken vase? From $2 to $500? Man, this isn't as good as new. This is better than new. Matter of fact, if I found some broken thing, I'd even break some stuff at the house. And I'd carry it to a Kintsugi guy and say, can you Kintsugi this? Amen. So it's important to understand this about this process. God wants to do the same thing to us. Come on now. God wants to do the same thing to us. We all have flaws. We all have breaks. We all have these, but we don't understand. Instead of hiding your flaws, oh, get ready. Instead of hiding your flaws, God wants to highlight. We want to walk around like we got a super Christian on our chest, SC. We never have anything wrong. We never go through anything and don't realize that God wants to highlight our flaws, because once he fills them with the gold of the Holy Spirit, now You're not better than new, or you're not good as new. You're better than new. Wow. Because your cracks, your disfigurement, your problems, God's Holy Spirit has a unique way of filling it and then bringing out a beauty. Matter of fact, I when I see new Christians and all they can talk about is, well, God's going to prosper me and I'm going to blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, I don't want to tell them at the time, but because when they're new, but when they start getting a little age on, a little maturity on them, I'll tell them, now get ready, because in the maturity process or the maturation process, God's going to allow you to get broken. He's going to allow you to get broken in order that he can fill your cracks with gold. He's allowing you to get broken so that he can increase your value. You see, the pottery becomes more beautiful and valuable in the restoration process. Though it was once broken, it not only has a history, but it has a new story. Oh, y'all didn't hear that, did you? When God restores us, we not only have a history, we have a new story. God is so powerful with that. So now, with that in mind, thinking about that kintsugi, there are times in everybody's heart that we have weak moments. Amen? We got weak moments. There's times where you lose your grip. There's times when you come crashing down. There's times where you feel beyond repair this time. How many said, okay, God, I told you I wouldn't. And I've already done it 20 times. I told you I wouldn't do it again. And now I've done it again. I'm beyond repair, God. Why do you even keep messing with me? How many's ever said that? You see, this during this time you feel tossed aside, forsaken, shamed, or rejected. But the cool thing about all of this is that God breaks through all of that mess. He takes your mess and makes an awesome message. Although that you're tore up, although you're tore down, although that you feel like you cannot be picked back up again, you are never beyond healing. You are never too broken for restoration. Don't be ashamed of your scars, because your scars has an awesome, awesome message to tell. Amen? A scar is a tattoo with a better story. You might get a tattoo and at the time you think it's awesome, then later on you look at it and say, I sure wish I got this. Man, what was I thinking? But you know what? You got that scar, you can show that scar and say, yep. That's when I fell down. That's when I was trying to help somebody and got scarred up. Or that's when I fell through the floor in a burning house and got a scar on my leg as I was a rescue squad. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, I was proud of that scar because that scar was earned. You know what I'm saying? Or you, something going on different. So watch this now. Watch. A scar is a, say y'all say it with me, a scar is a tattoo with a better story. Some of y'all act like you actually believe that. Okay, watch this. Just because you've been broken in God's eyes, you're not thrown away, you're not unusable, you're not set on a shelf, you're not forgotten. If you look in the Bible before God, I had somebody in my family come up to me one time, and they were going through something with their children. I could not believe what this person I very highly respect, still highly respect, and I love this person, but this person came up to me, and I was trying to minister to this person in their pain, and this person actually told me, said, I cannot believe this is happening to my family. Said, I could expect it in your family. But not my family. We don't have problems. It seems like since you've been serving God, that's all you had is problems. I'd expect it out of you, but not us. In other words, we got it made. And I looked at him, and I said, let me tell you something. I know right now you're hurting. I know right now you're even embarrassed. I know right now you even feel a little ashamed. I said, but in just a few months down the road, you will not feel ashamed at all. You'll be excited. I said, but not only that, you got to understand one thing. Because this person was stepping up in the Lord and started being used by God. And as he started being used by God, here it came. I told him, I said, all this other time, you've just been kind of hanging around with God, but not really doing anything. I said, now you decide to step to the plate and be used of God. He said, I sure have. He said, I'm being used by God. I said, okay then, let me tell you a little something that God does. And he says, what's that? I said, I discovered this, and now you're discovering this. He said, what's that? I said, before God can use you greatly, he must allow you to be broken greatly. Wow. Before God can use you greatly, he must allow you to be broken greatly. You see, brokenness has the power, unlike anything else, to bring forth new beauty, new strength, new inspiration in your life and to others. You see, God knows. I like this one. God uses cracked pots. Amen? How many here are cracked pots? Amen. God uses cracked pots. He uses people that's got flaws. If we didn't have flaws, we couldn't minister to people. If we didn't have flaws, people wouldn't even listen to us. It's when you've been through something and you say, I've been there, done that, bought a t-shirt, outgrew it, and bought another t-shirt. Then people want to hear what you got to say. See, often in the moments that we have tasted deep suffering, this is what I noticed. I talked about this Tuesday night. I told you Tuesday night, this is going to be right in with Tuesday night. It's often in the moments that we've tasted deep suffering that we notice that we were made for more, that there's purpose for our lives, that God will use this moment for his good. Remember. Who's that? It's Jesus. See the scar in his hand? The scars of your life. The healed wounds. The deep lines. All have stories to tell. Don't hide them. I was in a Pitt Detention Center. And I was talking to some of the guys that got arrested. And some of the guys that got arrested for drugs and some other things. They went, oh, you wouldn't. I was trying to talk to him, and he went, you have no idea what me or my family's going through. I said, really? I said, really? I said, my daughter just got arrested. Only six months with the wrong people. She's arrested. And their eyes stopped. I talked to some other guys, and they go, you have no idea how it feels like to have a son overseas. I said, oh, really? My son's in Afghanistan right now. Oh, really? We have no idea what it's like for somebody to be sick and dying. I go, really? And then when you start telling these guys your story, all of a sudden they stop and they listen and say, tell me more. And then they start telling me their story. Again, the Amplified Version. Watch this. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by man, a man of sorrows and pains, acquainted with grief and sickness, and like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he had borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, needful to obtain peace and well-being for us, was upon him, and with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Wow. Your scars are important. You say, God, didn't you know I was going to, God, couldn't you stop me from going through this? You know what? Sometimes God, if you just listen, say, I'm trying to up your value if you just wait and listen. I'm trying to give you more validity to your testimony. I'm trying to do something with you that nobody else could do. I'm trying to show you something that you never understand unless you went through the pain. I ministered to hundreds of people who had lost their mom or their dad. But until I lost mine, I just had book knowledge. I ministered to hundreds that lost their spouse. Again, book knowledge. But once I went through it, it's not book knowledge anymore. What I've done now is you've got experience along with book knowledge, the Bible, and books or whatever, but you got the experience that you can tell people. Matter of fact, if I'm hurting right now, and I'm hurting because a certain area of my life, and then somebody comes up to me and has never experienced anything and comes just wants to start, you know, they're there, it'll be okay. Oh, really? You try and tell me that. When you've been through something, now people stop and listen. Because now you're talking through eyes that have seen the pain, that have experienced the pain, and have seen the glory of God come through in the middle of it. You see, this is so important. The world doesn't have this. This is why Christian counseling is so powerful. Why it's 90% versus 50%. It's because we have a healer, one who repairs, one who can fix the broken pieces that no longer seem to fit right into perfect design. Have you ever broke something and you couldn't find all the pieces? Or when you put it together, you just couldn't get it to do right, and so you just wound up throwing it away? God doesn't do that. He takes your pieces, and remember, when he puts the gold in the broken spots, in the gaps, now all of a sudden, things are different. Now all of a sudden, things are fitting together. You know, by matter of fact, he often works behind the scenes and we don't even realize he's mending and he's fitting together. He's creating a better work of art. He's making things better than we ever dreamed possible. There's things that's happened in my life that I thought was just absolutely, the bottom was going to drop out. I said, God, I just can't take it anymore. God, are you trying to see how much I can take? No, because he knows how much I can take. Again, I've used this illustration before many, many times, but I remember it keeps coming back to me over and over again as I'm going through things in life and I'm seeing things in life. I remember that time, D.C., I was trying to get him. I was a defensive coach trying to get him to bust through the offensive line to get the quarterback, and he was getting them all the time. And in other words, his talent was getting him through the line, and then they decided to bust up on the talent, and they double-teamed him and triple-teamed him, and I watched him get hit and put on his behind. And I remember that day that happened. I said, son, you're going to have to use skill now, not just talent, skill. You're going to have to figure out how to spin out of these guys and keep on going. And he said, but Daddy, it's hard to spin out. I said, yeah, but remember, they can't grab you. You can grab them. They cannot grab you. They're offense. I said, I want you to spin out. I want you to take them. I want you to slap them. I want you to get on by and get to that quarterback. And when they heard me telling him that, the offensive coach is our own team in practice, our own team. They said, I want you to put DC on the ground and keep him there. And they hit that boy so hard, I felt it. I'm pretty sure Sierra, his daughter, felt it. He was only 14. He got up, and the daddy in me wanted to go hold him and coddle him and go tell those guys, what are you doing hitting my son like that? Because I heard it. It was so loud. But instead, I reached down, and I said, okay, take off your daddy hat and put on your coach hat. And I got down, and I said, that hurt, didn't it, son? He said, that hurt. And I said, I need you to get up. And he was leaning over with the arrow knocked out of him. And I saw the tears falling out of his helmet. They were just a falling. And I said, son, you want to do that again? He said, no, sir. I said, do you want to get it right this time? He said, yes, sir. I said, it's going to hurt even getting it right, but getting it right is going to not hurt as bad as getting it wrong. He said, okay, Dad. I said, do what I showed you. And those guys never got him down. But if I had stopped and played daddy and held him and coddled him instead of being the coach and getting him to go, then he would have always stopped at that point in his life and never go any further. The same way with us. If God shielded us from all of our hurts, all of our pains, we would never go any further. As soon as we start feeling that hurt or that pain, we'd stop. You know, they actually train fleas for the flea circus. They really do. You can go to a place where they got a flea circus, and one flea will jump an inch, another flea will jump 5 inches, another flea will jump 12 inches. They don't have anything around them. They just jump one inch, one 4 inches, one 3 inches, one 12 inches. You know how they train a flea in a flea circus? They take a flea and they put him in a jar. And whatever, however high they want to jump, that's how high the jar is. They want to jump an inch, they put him in an inch jar. They close the lid, and they leave it down there for quite some time. And every time the flea tries to jump out of that jar, he hits the lid. And when he hits the lid, he comes back down. Eventually, he gets tired of hitting his little flea brain. And he stops.
And for the rest of his life, he will only jump just to 1 inch. That's it. Y'all seen the elephants at the circus? Elephants at the circus, they're tied down by one strap on one leg and a chain in the ground. Do you know that elephant could knock the whole tent down if he wanted to? He could take that up and pick it up and just throw it and keep on going. But you know why he doesn't? Because when he's little and he's growing and he doesn't have the strength, they tie him down constantly with that one leg. And so he keeps pulling, but he can't get out. And eventually, he quits trying. He's reached his limit. So when he's older, although he can yank that thing out, he doesn't, because he doesn't think he can do it. And the same way with us, with hurts and things in our lives. We think it's the end. We think that we're not going to go any further. We think that it's over with, that we're broken, that we're only worth less than a dollar now. But we don't realize that God wants to take and fill it with gold. All those cracked spaces, all those places that hurt, all those places that are driving you up the wall, all those places that make you want to just pull your hair out sometimes, all those places he wants to take and fill them with gold. Remember, this thing's worth a dollar this way. It's worth $100 to $200 this way. Remember, God wants to use you as a vessel. Remember, $2 this way. Once it's broken and repaired with gold, now it's worth $500. The same bottle. Wow. Some of us in here right now, some of y'all are thinking, man, that must be worth a lot of money. You don't realize that God is upping your value. Remember, your brokenness is not to destroy you. Your brokenness is to up your value. God wants to do something in you. See, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. God's got something special, absolutely special for us. Amen? Hey, matter of fact, I like this. He makes all things beautiful. Y'all say all things. All things beautiful. Let me tell you this. If you're going through something right now, I want you to listen to this carefully. Please listen. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Please. If what you're going through right now is still in a rough stage and it's looking bad, Satan would like for you to quit right in the middle of it. Just like D.C. Daddy wanted D.C. to want to pick D.C. up and put him in the car and take him home. But the coach says, no, you got ability you don't even realize you've got. And the only way to get that ability out is you're going to have to face the hard stuff, the stuff that makes you uncomfortable, the stuff that makes you hurt, the stuff that rams you. You're going to have to touch that to get that potential out of you. The same way, remember this, if the situation you're in right now stinks, it's rotten to the core, you don't think it's ever going to get any better. Remember, if that's where you're at in your story, that's not the end. Because with God, it always ends with, it is with. Wow. It is with. So God's got something for us. He makes all things beautiful, you know, especially the broken. You're not just simply patched by it together. And then he secretly hopes that the super glue will hold this time. Now, I'll put somebody together and say, please stay together this time because I can't afford another one. Or please stay together this time because I can't find another one. Or just please stay together because you know, I don't know what to do. Please let this glue hold. That's not what he does. Jesus don't come in and pour the gold in and go, now, I hope this holds. If it don't hold, come back. We'll put some more in, or come back, we'll try different thing. No! That's not how he does it. You see, your repair, your healing is never intended to be invisible. Remember, if you couldn't see it, it's still worth $2. But now you can see it. Like I said, my grandmama had one. Hers was a plate. I can remember it was green and white, I think. It was something in white. And I kept looking at it, and I kept thinking, who in the world wants a plate that's broke and put back together with gold? If I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have had that plate sitting in my house. See, he doesn't just repair you. He wants people to know that he's repaired you and that you're beautifully lined with the shining grace through every scar, through every broken piece, through every broken space. You know, I hear people all the time when they say, you know, when they're going through something with their family or going through something with a spouse or going through something with their kids, and they'll say, well, then they'll say something like, well, how did you, once they find, first they go, here's what they do. First they go, you would have no idea. You got no idea. And I go, yeah, I do. And I start talking about it, not to brag on me or not even try to make them feel like mine's worse than theirs. I just tell them, yeah, I've been there. If they want to hear more of the story, I'll tell them more of the story. I was at Pittmore Hospital. It was the very first night after my mama's death. I sit out in the parking lot. I was sitting at work from 8 to 8, 8 that night to 8 in the morning, the chapel. I was sitting out in the parking lot, and I was listening to gospel music. And it was a live recording that was playing on the radio. And the lady said, she was talking, she said, I sang this song to my mama when she died. She said, we sang the first verse. She sang the second one in heaven. I was so tore up. My mama just died. I'm trying to get it together. I've got to go into the hospital. I've got to minister to people. So I said, get it together, son. And so as I'm getting together, as I'm walking through the door to the Pittmore Hospital, I'm walking through the door, the chaplain comes out. And he says, we need you. The guy that was getting ready to get off says, we need you now. Go get your stuff on. We got to go now. So I went and got dressed in my chaplain stuff. And he said, go up to intensive care. Go to North Tower. Go to third floor. He said, there's a lady here, 27 years old. She can die any moment. And she's got all her family here, and they need ministry. So I go inside. The whole room is full of her family. The only problem was, the daddy spoke only Spanish. The mama spoke broken English. My daughter-in-law spoke English, and she was the translator. And so there was broken English, all that's going on, and the mother was hysterical. And this chaplain before me could not get her to calm down. So he was just glad I was here so he could go. And so he goes, and I get down to her, and I'm trying to talk to her, and I'm trying to comfort her, and she will not listen to anything I got to say. And then finally, I said, I really appreciate how you feel right now, because my mama, I just buried her a few days ago. And I said, it was the hardest thing I ever did. And all of a sudden, she stopped crying. Just tears running down her face. She watched. And she said, tell me more. And I began to talk to her, plus sometimes the translator had to help me out. And I began to tell her how the Holy Spirit would come in and pick her up and help her and carry her through this, because he did the same thing with me. And she stayed calm the whole time. We went back to intensive care. We looked at her daughter while we were there. We walked back out, and we get a call that she had died. And so we go back there with her and the rest of the, and I was there with him for 3 hours. And for the rest of the night, she never got hysterical again. She held my hand just about the whole time. You see, that night I learned that God took that crack of my mama dying and he filled it with gold. And I got a chance to use it with about 50 people. In intensive care world, but especially that moment. God doesn't waste your pain. He never wastes your pain. He beautifully, awesomely lines every scar with gold. Matter of fact, gold-filled crevices of our heart, now they're strong, they're beautiful. It's amazing. Totally amazing. You know, see that pot right there? I had somebody else in my family have something like that. I wish I could find that one. That would be awesome. Many people had cracked pots. Nobody had them put back together with gold wherever I went. I said, have you got an invitation? They said, we don't even have an invitation. I said, okay, then I'll make one. And, of course, there they are. Let me tell you something. Get ready close. Y'all guys, get ready. Praise the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God. For he is gracious and lovely, Praise is becoming inappropriate. The Lord is building up Jerusalem. He gathers together the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wound, curing their pain and their sorrows. If we could look out in our congregation today, I believe, instead of saying, if you were all pottery, that's what I believe I'd be looking at. The problem is, many times we don't realize that God has filled the cracks with gold. We don't realize that we're not good as new. We're better than new. After Jacob wrestled with the angel and his hip was shrunk and pulled out of joint, for the rest of his life he limped. But you know what? When he walked away from that fight, his name was changed from Deceiver to Prince of God, Israel. He limped everywhere he went. Even when he died, when it says he blessed all of his children, it said he leaned upon his staff. He limped the rest of his life. Some of us don't realize we're limping, and we're thinking because we have a limp, God cannot use us again, not understanding that limp gives you tremendous value in God's eyes. God wants to feel your breaks, your hurts, with gold of the Holy Spirit. Let him. Let everybody stand. That's very appropriate. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Cracks and all. After I knocked over one of the nuns Friday, almost dominoed three more, I was sitting at a table talking with a friend who was going through some problems. So here we are. I was sitting down trying to work on my sermon, but instead I wind up counseling again. So I'm sitting down. I'm talking with the guy. He kept noticing the four nuns sitting over in the corner. They kept, every now and then, would look over at me, and they would smile. And finally, they got up as they were getting ready to leave. And I really don't understand exactly what all they said, but they come over to me, and one of the nuns grabbed me by the hand. And I heard her say, bless you and thank you. And they walked out, and the guy said, wow, those nuns are awesome. You didn't even tell them. They knew you were a pastor. They came right over to bless you. And I said, no. I said, before you came in, I about knocked them all down. And I said, I wind up buying them all Starbucks. He goes, oh. And I told him, that's a much better story. God wants to use you with all your cracks, all your flaws. God wants to use you. Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask a question. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here, honestly, with just being very honest, with everybody's head bowed, everybody's eye closed, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I really feel too broken to be used by God. I really feel like I've just jumped off the deep end one time too many. I need you to pray for me because I feel like God can't even use me anymore because I've told him many times I wouldn't and I did, and I need God to touch me special. Is anybody here would raise their hand? How about those that are here and saying, you know what?
I realize I've got cracks. I realize I got broken areas. But I thank God that He'll pour gold in them and make them better than new. And I need God to do that right now. How many says that? I need God to fill up some of those cracks with gold. Let me see it. Let me feel it. Use it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them right now, Lord. Fill their cracks with gold. Fill their cracks with power and with anointing. And let them know. Just like Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times on the day of Pentecost, he stood and led the pack. And 3,000 souls were saved. Isn't that something? He denied Jesus 3 times. But on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Don't you think that was kind of a like these things right here? This thing's worth $2. After it's being cracked, it's worth $500. The same way, Peter, he couldn't even stand before a little girl. Got cracked. But once Jesus filled them with gold, wow, 3,000 souls were saved. If you got a need in your life for anything right now, we're going to open these altars. You're more than welcome to come. Please come. Come to these altars. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. We thank you, God, you fill our cracks with gold. We thank you, God, that we're not alone, that we don't have to do this by ourselves. That you already knew that we were going to mess up. You already knew that we were going to have problems. You already knew all this stuff. And you used us anyway. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the gold of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. For you. Everybody just lift your hands. Repeat after me. God, I want to be used by you. Cracks and all, I give them to you. Breaks and all, I give them to you. Fill them with the gold of the Holy Spirit. And I thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you. Now let's sing with him.
Be a living sanctuary for you, Lord, prepare. Follow Jesus.
There you go.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. To follow Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Glory!
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Lord, use us, cracks and broken pieces all together. Just like in Acts, after the shipwreck, the Bible said they all got to shore off 276 men. Some swam, Some got on broken pieces and made their way to the shore, and God saved them. Some of y'all don't even realize it right now, but God's saving you because of your broken piece, and through your broken piece, God's saving you. Wow. God's awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Let's come back Tuesday night. We're talking about the mourning process. Last week was a very powerful, powerful service. I'm expecting this week to be powerful too, and especially if you're going through anything, because it'll help you to help others. It's like putting ammunition in your gun. It's getting you ready, prepared to help other people, because that's what we're called to do. We're called to take our candle and light somebody else's candle. Amen? And the candle never loses its flame by lighting another candle. Amen? Amen. God's awesome. All the time.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, in spite of our